Luke.
Ben?
You will listen to the Wampa's Lair podcast.
Podcast?
There you will hear your hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, as they discuss all things Star Wars. So join the conversation and hang out. Oh, and watch out for Wampas.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This is episode number 191, Rogues, Rebels, and Celebration. Oh, my. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me, the Grand Admiral Thrawn. To my Admiral Akbar, we have Carl LeClaire.
At least I'm not a legend anymore. I'm a fish.
It's a trap! It's a trap! He's canon!
Oh, man, how exciting is that? We're going to get Grand Admiral Thrawn back.
I suspected it was only a matter of time, but it's still just amazing when it actually happens.
Yeah, I'm almost tempted to go back and reread the Thrawn trilogy, except you'd have to, read everything about Joris Saboth and, clones. So, oh, and Yezzel Armir, however you say that. So, yeah. No, I think it's going to be great, but to have Thrawn back. But we're going to be talking about that a little bit later on.
Yeah.
So much stuff was revealed at Celebration Europe in London this past weekend. If you listen to other Star Wars podcasts, you've probably heard lots of other people talking about this. So hopefully you're still taking the time to want to hear more. And obviously Jason and I weren't there, but there's this great thing called the internet where they live stream pretty much everything.
Right.
But for today's episode, we're just going to be concentrating mostly on that Rogue One sizzle reel and the Rebels season 3 trailer. And might worth mentioning the Ahsoka panel. I don't know if you caught that, Jason.
I did catch that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. I've been rewatching Clone Wars in light of just like that panel. But Jason, before we get to anything in this podcast, I want to say something on the air to you.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Maybe. I have watched Phantom Menace 2 nights in a row, and I have something to tell you.
Okay.
I like Jar Jar Binks. I was hanging out with my friend Greg last night, and I told him that. I go, I got to confess, I actually like Jar Jar. He goes, oh, Jason's going crazy right now somewhere.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
He's, you know what? For all the crap he gets, that movie is good, and he makes it better. I don't care what people are thinking right now. I can't wait to tell Joe Hogan this. But
oh, my gosh. Joe will have an aneurysm.
Yeah, we might not be allowed to be friends anymore, but that's okay. there's plenty of other artists out there.
Chris D, for instance.
Exactly, yeah. You've brought me around to from hating him to disliking him to being indifferent to I don't mind him to, you know what, I kind of like him. I like him.
All right. Yes.
And here's why, just in a quick nutshell, because I know we got a lot to cover. I like Jar Jar because I did start to change when we had Celebration Anaheim last year. We went to that panel, Jason. Or no, you didn't. I went by myself, but I told you all about it, right? There's those folks yes. talking about why Jar Jar is such a great character. And they essentially say, right, he's the annoying person in your life, but you have to like learn to good people learn to accept them for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
I like Jar Jar because he is the innocence personified of mm-hmm. that prequel era. He's kind of a nobody, and he's brought back into society. And what's great about him is he does great things, but still remains the same goofy character. Yes, he was a jarring character to Star Wars, if you're coming from the OT era.
A jar-jarring character?
Hey! But I like him. He works for me. Yes, there are things about him. It's like, okay, it's very childish. Not necessarily funny anymore. But there's some of his lines I love. Hello, boys.
Hello, boys.
That's so good. And, when they jump down and take out those battle droids to free the queen.
Lucica, it's Bombad.
I love it. He's just kind of this outside observer. And He is kind
of the color commentary for the Phantom Menace.
Exactly. And you know what? I love the Phantom Menace, and this is probably almost blasphemy to say, but because obviously when you come to talking Star Wars, your favorites are always going to fluctuate, except for me, it'll always be Empire. But I almost think Phantom Menace is my favorite prequel movie. Nice. I just love that movie. So anyway, I just had to say that on the air that I like Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, man. Hearing you say that brings warm feelings to my heart.
So anyway, if we still have people listening, we've got some stuff to cover. We had a very interesting matchup from our last episode, which we can summarize pretty quickly, can't we, Jason?
Yeah. And since we have so much else to cover, folks, we're going to race through this matchup pretty quick because it was largely one-sided. And by largely, I mean completely. We have old Ben Kenobi versus Kanan Jarrus. And the Larians have spoken 20-1. We had a ton of responses, and I want to thank everybody for responding in. But since we have so much to cover, we're not going to take a lot of time on this at all, since it was so one-sided. 20-0, Larians have spoken, Ben Kenobi over Kanan Jarrus. And I think, without hardly any thought, I'm going to make that 22-0. Is that correct, Carl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Old Ben is able to fight Vader well. You know, diversionary tactic. He can go toe-to-toe with Vader. Kanan gets, owned by Vader. So that in and of itself kind of gives you what you need to know.
Yeah. There were so many good, well thought out reasons behind that too, but and they're all valid and correct.
I don't know. So, I wasn't thinking straight when I made that matchup.
But it's also fun to just see what happens when you throw out these things. You know, sometimes you figure they're going to be one-sided, but you just want to see by how much. And I think this is the first shutout that we've ever had on the show.
Yeah, I think so too.
So, good on you, folks, because we all completely agree. All right. We've got a poll for you at the end of the episode, so stick around for that. But since there's so much coming out of Celebration, we want to just jump right into that. What do we want to start off with, Carl?
We're going to hop right into the Rogue One sizzle reel, which kind of blew us all away.
Kind of like a trailer with behind-the-scenes shots thrown in it.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just going to play this for everyone. I'm sure you've all watched this several times already, but here we go anyway.
Like the fantasy you always have as a kid. Everywhere is an amazing shot with an amazing character.
It's about the humanity of it, which just makes the whole thing so real.
Ready and action!
Your heart's beating and you're actually in this situation. You get something very genuine that you couldn't have planned.
You'll actually compose shots that if we were on a green screen set, you just wouldn't have known were available.
The pressure's so high. Like, we're making a film that's right touching my favourite movie of all time. But then if you're too respectful of it, that you dare not do anything new or different, take a risk, then what are you bringing to the table?
X-Wing! X-Wing!
Down there! Bang!
really where a film crew like this really comes into their own. That kid, when you were 4 years old, grew up with Star Wars figures. It's a bit like just being that kid again.
You're sort of going like, arr, arr, arr.
May the Force be with us.
Wow.
I know.
Oh, man.
I love this thing.
What jumps out at you most, Jason?
Oh, man. I'm sure we'll get into what Gareth Edwards talks about a little bit here later, but as far as just the visuals, it looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so excited to see what this looks like on screen. And I'm excited because I'm a fan of Donnie Yen and his, you know, Chinese martial arts action movies. And it looks like, you know, he is the blind warrior. It looks like he's going to have somewhat of a you know, prevalent role in this movie. He's probably the character I'm most interested to learn more about. Obviously we've got Jin and the Cassian and Saw Gerrera.
Biggs Jr.
Yeah, right.
Biggs Jr. I call Cassian and Biggs Jr.
Right. And Saw Gerrera, played by Forrest Whitaker, who are probably going to be the, you know, some of the big three heavy hitters of the movie. But it looks like Chirrut, that's his name, Chirrut, is going to have, you know, somewhat of a very dynamic role in this. And I'm really excited about that. So.
Is Chirrut, that's who Donnie Yen plays?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. That's the character I'm most excited about, too, Jason. Which probably, you know, if you've listened to the show, you know, obviously my favorite aspect of Star Wars is kind of the spirituality, the mystical side of Star Wars. And it seems very clear, especially from the panel that we heard, and some of the things Gareth Edwards shared at that panel, is that that's basically what his character is. He is that figure in this, which is really cool because from the get-go, when we heard about Rogue One, right, it's going to be this military, gritty movie, and it definitely looks like that just from the sizzle reel. I mean, that's the word I would use to describe it, is gritty. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool that they're still giving us kind of that aspect of Star Wars, because I think that's part of what enchants us about Star Wars. So I think it's really cool that we get, what's his name again?
Chirrut, I think.
Okay. I'm really excited to see what his character is all about. Watching them, you know, the shots where they're showing them filming this movie, it's very clear that this is going to be a very different Star Wars movie. You know, it's all these tracking shots. They're right in there in characters' faces. I mean, you know, that was something new and somewhat jarring in the Force Awakens, is there's a lot of camera movement, right? And we've talked about this before. I'm not crazy about it. I think we just have to settle that it's a new way of doing Star Wars. But, right, like all six films have always had that documentary filmmaking quality. You know, everything's kind of filmed in a stationary way.
Right.
I think it's great that they're not with an anthology film. It doesn't have to do that. Clearly, they're not going to do that with the saga movies anymore either. I just think that's going to be a really different type of experience to watch Star Wars. I think it's going to put you more on the ground floor in a way. Which could be really cool. I will say this: like watching that sizzle reel made me the most excited I've been about this movie yet.
Oh my gosh, I'm so flippin' excited about Rogue One. I really am. Like, I don't understand, you know, after seeing, you know, everything with Rey and Kylo and everything, and how excited I am to finally see how Luke fits into this new saga post Force Awakens. I didn't know how well I was gonna transition over to Rogue One, you know, in the meantime, you know. until we get episode 8. But right now, I'm all in Rogue One mode right now. I'm just like, I got to see this movie. This movie looks amazing. I need to know what happens in this movie. I mean, even though if you read the opening crawl, you kind of get the gist of it.
I know what Jason, I know what happens. They steal the Death Star plants.
Yeah. And they all die.
I don't know. Well, maybe not. Yeah.
I mean, I'm going into this movie assuming that nobody survives. Three of them do, I will be very excited about that, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting is Star Wars has always been known for introducing us to, like, many characters. You know, I mean, even when, you know, episode 4 premiered in 1977, you know, you had Han, Chewie, Luke, Obi-Wan, Leia, Vader, Tarkin, 3PO, R2. You know, these were all, in a sense, main-ish characters.
Right.
The difference was except for Tarkin, but all of them were going to then develop over two more films. What's interesting is they have a huge cast of characters, and quite possibly this is the only film they'll be in, right? It's a standalone movie. They may not get continuing stories. So what'll be interesting is can they introduce this many characters and make us care about them enough that if any of them do meet their demise, will we care?
Right.
Because one of my complaints about big movies like that, like the Avengers movies, I've never been crazy about them, mainly because I don't feel that there's any character development in them whatsoever. They're fun movies, they're exciting, but they're weak stories. I don't think that's what's going to happen with Rogue One, but what I think will be the interesting challenge, and hopefully they'll be able to do it, is bring in all these characters and make us care about them. Obviously, some are going to have more screen time than others. Like, obviously, Jyn Erso is the main character.
Right.
We're going to see more of her than we are going to see of her father, who's played by Mads Mikkelsen, who I love,
Mikkelsen.
By the way. Mikkelsen. Yeah. I love him.
I feel like this movie is going to be carried by Jyn and Cassian. I feel like they're like the main two. Then everyone else sort of tags along with them.
Right. And which is fine, you know. I mean, there's lots of obviously action movies with multiple characters, and I think it's going to be really interesting because it's all of these characters are so dynamically different, and I think that's great because everybody's, again, this is so Star Wars. Everybody's going to attach themselves to a certain character because there's going to be something about that character they like.
Right.
So I think that's going to be really exciting.
And you and I have already attached ourselves to Chirrut.
Right. Yeah. I mean. Both because of that mystical aspect, but also just the way he fights. Like, you know, this will probably be the first Star Wars film without lightsabers. Hopefully Vader will use his. But if he doesn't, pretty sure no one else is going to be in it with a lightsaber.
Right.
But at least Chirrut, dang it, did I say it right?
Chirrut, I think, is Chirrut, how they're pronouncing right. it.
Well, but, at least, you know, he's fighting.
Dave Filoni talked about this on the Rebels panel and his interview with D. Gutz, Andy Gutierrez celebration, is that every time there's like a question about how to pronounce something in Clone Wars or Rebels, he has people say it both ways in the series so that everybody's right. It's just where you're from in the galaxy.
Great.
So, it's Twi'lek or Twi'lek. It's AT-AT or AT-AT. You know,
Han or
it's
Han. All of
so yeah. It's Chirrut or Chirrut.
Yeah. I think his character's fighting style is going to be great.
Yeah.
I think that'll give us that hand-to-hand fun dynamic combat we love in Star Wars.
And it looks like he's going to maybe play up on his blindness, because there's a shot in there where he's like standing in front of a stormtrooper and then like elbows him in the helmet or something like that.
Yeah.
But he's like standing there almost meditatively with the stormtrooper very close to him, and you're like, you know, and then all of a sudden it looks like he just like, you know, elbows him in the jaw or something, and, you know, to knock the stormtrooper out. And so it's like, oh, so he uses that disability to his advantage, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have anything that you really wanted to focus on in this?
Oh boy. What do I want to focus
on? Oh, I should say, it's kind of interesting that Warwick Davis looks like he's going to be the Stan Lee of the Marvel Universe, and that Warwick Davis is going to be in every Star Wars movie now.
Yeah, I know. Why not?
Why not?
I think it'll
be a new Easter egg, you know, find Warwick.
Right. I, again, it's really heartening again, to hear Gareth Edwards talk about things. Just like, you know, when you listen to J.J. Abrams at Celebration Anaheim, when you heard him on anything talking about getting ready for Force Awakens, just the love and respect he himself personally had for Star Wars made you just all the more excited for that film. Gareth Edwards is the exact same way, you know. I mean, his kind of his way of putting it, multiple times, he's like, you know, this is something you dreamed about as a child, like you used to play with the toys. It's almost like now I have actors to use as action figures. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I just, again, like, this is such a new era of Star Wars where fans get to be filmmakers, official filmmakers. Right. You know, and I think that's really exciting. Something Gareth Edwards said that I thought stood out to me was, you know, he talked about, you know, trying to be faithful to the originals, yet at the same time doing something new. You know, obviously a lot of folks complained about Force Awakens, that it was just a rehashing of A New Hope as well as some other aspects of the OT, which is for certainly it's true. There was a reason for it. I think it worked and I think it was great. But I think Gareth Edwards is trying to say is, we're giving you a timeline. We all know kind of what's going on, but I'm going to give a unique way of looking at it. And I think that's just specifically being done by the way it's being filmed and whatnot. You know, it's a different feeling of Star Wars, which if you had asked me 4 or 5 years ago how I'd feel about that, I would have been like, I think that's stupid. I don't want that. But I think Clone Wars and Rebels has gone a long way in expanding, at least for myself, my view of what Star Wars can be. Because Clone Wars had so many different genres within those episodes. And Rebels isn't quite as dynamic and diverse as the Clone Wars. But I think, you know, we're getting outside characters. We're not getting, you know, one of the main reasons I stopped reading EU novels was because the big three were becoming less and less important, right? Like all these new characters were taking center stage, which again makes sense, but I didn't like it. But seeing, you know, Clone Wars and Rebels, you do have all these other characters kind of coming to the center. And at least for me, this is just my opinion, but it allowed at least my own closed-mindedness towards the big three to be expanded. And I think those shows have really prepared us as fans for this sort of Star Wars film. You know, we're not going to have a Kenobi. We're not going to have a Skywalker. We're not going to have a 3PO or an R2 in this film. We're going to have a tiny bit of Vader. You know, so I think now is definitely the time to make that film.
Yeah, I agree. And that comment that you were highlighting from Gareth Edwards, you know, about, you know, being completely respectful of what's come before, but not so respectful that you don't bring anything new to the table,
right,
is really good. That really sort of highlights the overall mentality of how we're getting Star Wars going forward, but particularly this first standalone movie. Because I also think that's how George would have wanted it. You know, you keep moving it forward. You don't just find something and stick with that,
right?
Because that's what he did with the prequels, you know, and he did with the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
After that, you know, he kept expanding it and moving it forward, and so it's especially for me now. That's a very reassuring statement to hear from Gareth Edwards.
Yeah.
And did you hear what he said about George Lucas coming on set? I can't remember if that was in the Celebration interview or if he said that beforehand. But he said that George Lucas came to visit the set. And George was, you know, going around and seeing things. And he'd start, you know, critiquing things, you know, saying, oh, this, that, the other thing, but, you know, that's not right or how it should be done or whatever. And then he'd turn it around and make it, you know, and finish it off with a quip, makes everyone go, oh, he's joking, you know, because George was terrifying the entire crew, particularly Gareth, you know, just to mess with them. You know, he's like, oh, this is bad, that's wrong or whatever. Not really, you know, it's sort of that kind of thing. And, you know, Gareth Edwards, you know, laughing about it now, but completely, like, you know, nearly wetting his pants in the moment.
Yeah, you know, I didn't hear exactly what he said about it, but I did see the picture of George sitting with Gareth on the set. And it just from the sounds of things, even just from that little bit, George has been more involved with this than he was Force Awakens. and I'm a fan of that. The dude is alive. He's around, you know. Run things by him just for the heck of it. You know, this is his creation. And I love that at the panel that, you know, it wasn't long into it when Gareth said, you know, none of this would be possible without George Lucas. And I think JJ did a good job of doing the same, you know, and, you know, press releases for Force Awakens as well.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, that's exactly the truth. You know, George Lucas wrote that opening crawl that gave us this movie.
Right. Exactly. He gave us a synopsis for this movie.
Yeah. And I'm sure he had some ideas of what that might have looked like. You know, it's George Lucas. He thinks everything through.
Right.
So, yeah, I loved...
Especially on a story level.
Right. So I love that he was getting some love. I love that they... I would assume they invited him to the set. I doubt he would have just shown up.
Yeah, no, it was... the way Gareth Edwards said it is, on a Friday, one of the producers or somebody came to him and said, hey, guess who's coming to the set Monday? He was like, I don't know who. George Lucas. Oh, and so we had the entire weekend to panic about the situation.
Well, you know, one thing I kind of want to just hit on real quick, and it's, I guess you could call it a quibble, and I don't want to be that guy, but, you know, it's kind of in light of, you know, Gareth saying, you know, they want to do something that's familiar but also kind of new.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's some new stuff in this film, right? There's different types of stormtroopers. There's those stormtroopers on that tank with those white helmets that aren't, you know, your standard stormtrooper helmet. Yeah, there's those
the shore troopers, I think, is what they're being called.
Yeah, and then what are the ones all in black?
Dark troopers.
Dark troopers.
Or death troopers.
Death troopers. Maybe. Yeah, dark troopers is in I think like Jedi Outcast or something, one of the video games. But these all look cool. They don't look un-Star Wars-y, but my only little quibble is why don't we ever see them elsewhere, right? Like, why weren't they ever on the Death Star or the Executor or the Battle of Endor? That's my only thing where I just say, like, okay, I mean, it's a big empire, granted, maybe they just weren't there, but the thing you kind of pigeonhole yourself with when you're playing... When you're playing in the sandbox that already is got predetermined stuff in it, right? Like, you're playing in an era when we know everything that's kind of there. Mm-hmm. To introduce things that are kind of completely new, I don't know. I'm not knocking it. I love the way they look, but it's just like, we've never seen them before. Why all of a sudden are they here?
My explanation without ever seeing the movie, shore troopers only used on the beach.
Fair.
You don't have a beach in the Death Star or on Endor.
True.
And then from what I gather, the Death Troopers are Director Krennic's personal troopers.
Okay. There you go then.
That's whether or not that's exactly true or not, I don't know for sure yet, but that's what I'm gathering, is that those are his guards.
Well, you know, and again, I am not saying to poo-poo this at all, because I think they look great. And even, you know, I was just watching Clone Wars episodes yesterday where, what are those really acrobatic droids?
Oh, the commander droids.
The commander droids. Like, we don't see those in Revenge of the Sith, right? We don't see those in any of the movies, but yet they still exist and are cool. So I guess this is totally fine. You know, they look like something very McQuarrie inspired too.
Mm-hmm.
So I really enjoy that.
Yeah. But it is a good point, though, is that, you know, with this sort of situation, you kind of, especially when you're doing stories between films, you run into that issue of, you know, how much do you want to make that's completely new? Because then you start wondering, well, why isn't that there later? And of course, the logical answer is, well, it wasn't designed until later, you know, that sort of thing. But in universe, you're like, but why wasn't it there? You know?
Yeah.
So you gotta watch it sometimes. So we'll see how they handle that.
Well, something else that we got that was new, which is awesome, is the name of the planet the Death Star seems to be constructed around. Scarif. Is that
Scarif? Scarif?
Scarif. I think is how Scarif. You say it. Yeah.
And then the other planet, the one with the little town, is Jedha.
Right. Yeah, and I really I want to talk about both of those real quick. So okay. Can we talk about Jedha first?
Sure.
Go figure.
Because that's like a, it's like a mecca almost for Jedi followers, you know, is the, yeah. the idea I'm yeah. getting, and that's cool.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I wanted to say. It's like, oh, yeah, this is great. you know.
Sorry, I'm taking all your points away from
that's
you.
That's okay. I couldn't remember the name of the planet, so at least you beat me to that ignorance. So, what an apt name, though, Jedha. You know, sounds yeah. like Jedi. Also sounds like Jerusalem, in a way. I think it's really cool that we're getting that, because, again, it's expanding the lore of the Force, which is really cool to outside just the Jedi. Mm-hmm. Also, I think it's cool that there is this idea of a pilgrimage. That's straight out of Islam, which I think is great that that is getting some blatant love in Star Wars. You know, Star Wars is mysticism.
Mythological?
Yeah. No, the mystical aspect of the Force that we get in Empire is very Zen. It's very Buddhist. But there's obviously throughout, you know, the prequels, we get more of that. And we also get some Christianity thrown into Jedi mysticism. But
with the chosen one aspect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the one thing that's been missing is the Islam faith. And I think it's great. I don't think, again, they're doing this purposely for that reason. But I think it's great that we live in a world that it's the second biggest religion in the world. Let that spirituality immerse itself into Star Wars. I think that's important, too, because a lot of people don't really get Islam. They hate it just because they don't get it. Or they see, you know, a few terrorists and assume that's every Muslim, which is horrible. But so I think it's really cool that we're getting some love from a different sort of religious tradition. Again, maybe I'm reading too much into that. It's Islam is not the only religion that has pilgrimages. Christianity has tons of pilgrimages to the Holy Land. You know, Buddhism mm-hmm. has pilgrimages, you know, Theravada Buddhism, you know, it's not unique to Islam, but it's big for Islam.
Right.
Outside of the real world, I just think it's really cool that you obviously have folks in the Star Wars universe, and we obviously got that with Lor San Tekka and The Force Awakens, mm-hmm. but there seems to be secular folks, if you will, who believe in the ways of the Force. They may not be, you know, Jedi or overly sensitive to the Force, but there is this kind of culture built up around the reality of the Force. So.
Whoa, what if we see a young Lor San Tekka in this thing on Jedha?
Oh, how cool would that be? Because that would make sense.
Uh-huh.
He wouldn't even have to be that young, because think of it this way. I mean, in Force Awakens, he's probably in his 70s. This is what, like 40 years before is all? So he don't...
Yeah, 35, yeah.
Yeah, so he'd be a young man. He'd, you know, be in his late teens, early 20s. Mm. How cool would that be?
He'd be in his 30s, I think.
Well, whatever. He'd be alive.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, but what if you see a young Lor San Tekka?
Oh, that'd be sweet. Yeah, so I think that's really cool that we have this planet Jedha, and you have... Because that sounds like what Chirrut's character is kind of up to. You know, he's at this mm-hmm. planet doing that. And to me, it almost seems like all of these characters just... they're going to be brought together. I don't know that they're all necessarily fighting together for the Alliance at the start of this movie. It's kind of got that, you know, like Inglourious Bastards feel to it, you know, where they kind of recruit or like the Dirty Dozen, you know, that famous yeah. old movie about those criminals who go and fight the Nazis, you know.
Recruit as they go.
Yeah, and it seems like maybe all these folks are going to be brought together. Again, we kind of talked about this with the Rogue One teaser first dropped, you know, that Jyn Erso is probably a nobody who has a lot of great skills that the Alliance is going to now give focus to. And I have a feeling mm-hmm. it's going to do that for all of these characters in a way, except for Biggs Jr., a.k.a. Captain Cassian or whatever. You know, I think he is clearly part of the Rebel Alliance.
Yeah.
But Saw Gerrera, probably not a part of the formal Rebel Alliance. So I think, you know, you're going to... I could see Darth Vader killing Saw Gerrera, by the way. Quick side note.
Yeah.
Because he helped train him, too. How ironic.
irony.
In the Onderon arc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see Saw Gerrera falling to the blade of Darth Vader.
Which, by the way, how cool is it that we get a character bridging the TV series and the movies now
yeah.
from the other direction?
Yeah.
Obviously, we've had characters from the movies in the TV series, but it's really cool to see it go the other direction now. So,
I'd still love to see Ahsoka in a movie.
I know. We need an Ahsoka movie is what we need.
Yeah.
Especially after some of the information we got from that that Ahsoka panel.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
There's a lot there. Gosh. Anything else on this Rogue One sizzle reel? We want to talk about Scarif.
Oh, yeah. Just real quick. Scarif, I think, is going to be the first Star Wars planet that few of us will ever be able to pretend we are playing at outside. Unless you live in, like, Hawaii or tropical Florida.
Right.
That is going to be a difficult place to recreate outside.
Yeah.
You know, as a kid. You know, it was
They filmed that on location in the Maldives, which is over in the Indian Ocean, I believe.
Okay. Well, you know, that's probably quite the different experience than filming in Tunisia. Abu Dhabi.
Right. Shucks. We have to go to this idyllic beach setting to film.
Horrible. We have to go to paradise to film? Okay.
You insist.
But what a shocking image that is, though, of the stormtroopers in the water. That's still very... It's just, like, unsettling. I dislike it, but it's just... That's just... It's such a weird thing to see stormtroopers in, like, a beach. You know? That's just...
Yeah.
That's just weird. Like, I can't imagine playing with my Star Wars action figures in the bathtub. Okay? You know, like... So, you know, that's just something new. And it's shocking. And I think in a good way, you know, I think it's really like just altering our perception of what Star Wars is. And clearly like this is the planet, obviously, that, I'm guessing the Imperials must have a base there. It's where they're building the Death Star. It's so cool. You know, some of these behind the scenes shots of, you know, clearly Jen is going to be wearing a TIE fighter pilot's costume. She's infiltrating. It looks like, Cassian is in an Imperial officer's uniform slamming a stormtrooper against the wall.
Right.
So it's going to be really cool to see that, like, that undercover espionage stuff too. Like, that's, oh gosh, it just sounds so fun. Like, I can't wait to see that go down. And I think it's going to be scary though. You know, I think, oh my gosh, what's Ben Mendelsohn's character's name again? Tarek?
Director Krennic.
Krennic. Okay. He seems like a force to be reckoned with, especially with those, death troopers.
Yeah.
So I think we are going to have a very... We know at the end of the day that they steal the plans, but the cost at which is going to be probably crazy. You know, and... I just think it's going to be so... I mean, that scene of them running across the beach with Jen carrying, like, a cassette player... Yeah. Clearly the Empire,
data tapes,
yeah, are literally on cassette tapes. So for most of us in the modern world, we wouldn't even be able to listen to them. How cool would it be, Jason, if, you know, what they do with those tapes, though, is the movie ends with them getting those tapes to Tana 4, right? Like, we obviously aren't going
to
see Leia.
The plans to the ship.
Yeah. How cool would that be? That would be really cool.
Yes. If it ends right before A New Hope begins.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have a tie-in novel that's supposed to lead right into the movie that'll be coming out too. So, you know, written by James Luceno, I think.
Okay. He's a great author.
Yeah. It's going to be really cool.
One thing I just remembered, that shot where you get Mon Mothma again. General Dodonna is definitely across from her, which is really cool.
Yeah, let me see where
he. That's at like 104.
104, and there are people saying
that could be Bail. Greg said to me, he's like, I think that might possibly be Bail Organa next to Dodonna to his right.
Right.
But
his face
well
is covered
be.
By a camera.
Right.
And I think that's entirely possible. That could be Bail.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Smits is around.
He is.
Not doing much.
So, but yeah, that is definitely Dodonna there across from Mon Mothma.
Yeah.
So.
One last thing I want to say, Jason. At least I think it's the last thing I want to say. just the opening shot of the reel itself is worth mentioning. It's a solitary figure with what looks like a moisture evaporator. Nothing says Star Wars like moisture evaporators, you know? And I really like that because, again, I just think this story is going to be
Dantooine?
It could be. That's true, because it doesn't look... Well, or it could be Jedha.
That's true.
But it could be Dantooine. I just think it's... My guess is that's Jyn Erso. Could be wrong. But I think, again, this is the theme of this new film, just which tends to be a big theme in Star Wars, is it's going to be a story about an individual who becomes so much more by joining something bigger, right? You know, Rey becomes so much better by joining up with the Resistance. Luke becomes something so much more by joining up with the Rebellion. You know, it's
quite... Anakin by joining with the Jedi. You know?
Yeah. So I really just like that opening shot, because to me, that's faithful to the feeling of Star Wars. It's the story about individuals who find purpose in community and family and friendship. So I think that's what this movie is going to be about. So yeah, we'll see if we're right.
Yeah. And then of course they end it with Jyn saying, "May the Force be with us."
Yeah. You know? Which like.
Always makes me happy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I can't wait for this movie.
I know. But thankfully we've got something that starts before that movie to help tide us over.
Yeah, thank God.
Do we want to just play this now?
Yeah, yeah. Let's play the season 3 trailer for Rebels.
Ahsoka!
Battles leave scars. Some you can't see.
I will never let my friends get hurt again.
The Holocron. I'm afraid it's changing him.
What if there are secrets we can learn from it that'll help us destroy the Sith?
Ezra, the secrets in that thing almost destroyed you.
There are Imperial cadets at the Skystrike Academy who wish to defect to the Rebels.
This is Ty SS-25.
You can call me Wedge.
Welcome to the Rebellion.
I still can't believe we're here to break this guy out of prison.
My friends, I give to you Reclam Station.
If we could steal a squadron's worth,
they would be key to building a strike fleet.
Let's go get them.
Everybody ready?
Yep.
Let's go. One last glorious day in the Grand Army of the Republic.
Flying stormtroopers?
Worse. Mandalorians who serve the Empire.
You haven't forgotten our ways. That has earned my respect.
So what's in it for you two?
Riches untold, that sort of thing.
So we'll split the treasure.
Split the treasure? Oh, that's a classic!
Governor Price, these rebels have proven particularly stubborn. How do you intend to solve this problem?
I need someone who sees a bigger picture.
The Empire is getting better at anticipating our moves. I underestimated the commander. The previous attacks were clumsy, but this one was swift, precise.
To defeat an enemy, you must know them. Not simply their battle tactics, but their history, philosophy, art.
Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Carabast. Embrace your destiny.
Jedi and Sith. The light and the dark.
I'm the one in the middle. The Bendu.
Once a secret is known, it cannot be unknown.
Your anger gives you strength.
I will pull the rebels apart piece by piece.
I must become more powerful.
They'll be the architect. Of their own destruction.
Ezra, turn away before it's too late!
The key to destroying the Sith.
First off, gotta. I like to give a shout out to the music.
Yeah.
I mean, this is obviously pump up music, just like the Rogue One's sizzle reel. But
right.
It's awesome because it works. Oh, I'm pumped.
Yeah, I know, right? Both of them. I'm just like, oh, I want those music tracks. You know, yeah. It's amazing. I think we should probably start with the elephant in the room with this one.
The Bendu?
Mm. Oh, he's great.
The fact that Ezra is way too damn strong. That still just makes me very angry, but I'll try to bottle that up for a little bit.
Yeah. No, Wedge. Wedge is back.
Didn't you catch that? Yeah, I caught that. I thought you were going to say Thrawn, but yeah, well. Wedge. You can call me Wedge. You can call me Obi-Wan's uncle.
Yeah, right.
Oh man, yeah, that's going to be great. Makes sense that he'd be in it, but I don't know that we've ever gotten his backstory before. So how cool that he's a defector from the Empire.
Wedge?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's in the expanded universe, the old EU, now Legends, he was, and I think this may have come from like one of the West End Games source books or something like that, but he ran like a fueling station with his parents, and it got destroyed in an Imperial raid, and he joined the rebels after that. But I like this one better, where he's, you know, an Imperial defector. So yeah. That's cool. I like Wedge. Wedge is, you know, good old Wedge. Can't have Star Wars without him.
Yeah, it seems to have taken a little bit of a darker turn. Rebels, yeah. Season 1 and 2 have both been very light-ish, you know? Like, they've been fun. They've been very Star Wars-y. It's not like Christopher Nolan Dark Knight dark, necessarily, but it's definitely darker, which, again, makes sense with how last season ended. You know, Ezra leaves with a Sith holocron.
Yeah.
You know, and this trailer opens with Kanan says, you know, it's changing him. Mm-hmm. So it's clear that things are taking a darker turn. I mean, there was a lot of casualties at the end of last season, right? We don't know what's going on with Ahsoka. Maul's on the loose. Kanan's blind, you know?
Yes.
It ended on kind of a Empire Strikes Back note. So it makes sense that things have gotten a little darker. This looks really good, but I'll be honest, there's a lot of things I'm really worried and skeptical about. Mainly that it's going to go too dark, because you've got Ezra, obviously, who's going to be, you know, on the verge of falling. You're bringing in Grand Admiral Thrawn, who's a dark character. You've got Grand Moff Tarkin. You know, I just don't want it to lose that light, fun feel that Rebels has had. I think
it'll be a lot more lighthearted than the trailer implies, because, you know, obviously we have Maul and we have Thrawn and all of this, and there's a lot of adversity that's about to hit our crew. But I think what they're doing is they're laying out for us, you know, some of the big obstacles to look forward to, and we're still going to get the lighthearted fun along with it. But I think Ezra's going to be a little bit of a darker character, just due to the nature of, you know, Sith holocron corrupting him.
Sure. Well, I think it's worth mentioning quick just the look of Ezra. All right, he looks completely different. I like the new look. I like the buzz cut. I like that he doesn't have blue hair anymore. he doesn't look like he, you know, washes his hair with Kool-Aid. You know, I like his look. It's cool that he has a green lightsaber.
Yeah.
I love Kanan's beard. I think it looks great.
Of course, it makes sense, because you don't want to shave, you know, clean shave yourself when you're blind.
Good point. Yeah.
You don't want to, you know.
Although I'm sure Hera could help. his mask is pretty cool looking, too. It's very reminiscent of kind of one of those temple guards.
Yeah.
What it makes me think of.
And it's got the J guys from Rex's helmet on it, too. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I want to just get my quibble out of the way first, so I don't give this all a sour note.
Okay.
Maybe it doesn't bother you. Maybe I'm sure it doesn't bother a lot of folks, but I've had a problem with Ezra since season two. Not specifically as his character, but Rebels takes place, what, 3 years before A New Hope?
I think where it started...
Was it 5 years?
It started, I think, 5 years before A New Hope. So we're about three or four now at this point before A New Hope.
If you've got a character like Ezra running around, why do we need Luke Skywalker? And again, this is what bothers me about it. He's too powerful. I don't like it. And I also don't like what it's kind of doing to the lore of Star Wars. When Ben Kenobi tells Luke in A New Hope that the Jedi, you know, have been wiped out of the galaxy, Grand Moff Tarkin says as much to Darth Vader in the same movie, their fire's gone out of the universe. The hell is this going on here then? You've got like a master and apprentice who are extremely powerful.
Well, I think what we're seeing is groundwork being laid for why Ezra isn't a Jedi. You know, because of all the stuff with Maul and this holocron, I don't think he's going to be a Jedi. I think he's going to, you know, if he survives, and that's a big if because we don't know where this series is ending, how it's ending. I think he may end up in a camp similar to what it looks like Saw Gerrera ends up in. He's going to be, you know, an extreme party out there that the Rebels are hesitant to deal with, you know. Because it looks like Ezra's taken a very dark turn and is determined to acquire the power to ensure his friends don't, to ensure his friends are protected.
Right. I mean, that's very, you know, Anakin almost.
Yeah,
right?
Indeed.
And even, you know, the bait that Vader tries to use at the end of Return of the Jedi to get Luke to turn, right, is he threatens his friends. Mm-hmm. It seems like Ezra is willing to take that bait.
Right.
I don't know. Wait till
it finishes before you give your final verdict on it.
Sure. I guess my big concern, and again, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what my concerns are. They'll do what they want, and I can like it or not like it, and that's okay if I don't. But I just don't want the role of what we've gotten in those original movies diminished by, you know, a character running around who seems to be very powerful in the Force. You know what? I'll tell you what. As long as Darth Vader kills Ezra, I'll be fine. I mean, granted, he easily could. You know, every time Ezra's gone up against him, Vader toys with him easily. But I don't know. I just have to wait and see. I really like Kanan. I like that we have, you know, a relic of the Clone War Jedi around with a relic of the Clone Wars and Captain Rex. I love that those are sticking around, but that you have this apprentice who's becoming very powerful, who's also like, oh gosh, is he going to become a Sith or use the dark side? It's like that big question, though, that was up in the air was something reserved for Luke. So I guess my concern is does it diminish the role of Luke Skywalker if Ezra is becoming this powerful? That's my question.
And that's a question I don't think we can answer at this point, you know, because Ezra's story isn't done. And I feel like there's going to be a twist or a fall from grace or something, you know, or, you know, perhaps even his death, his demise, that will really set things up for where we get in A New Hope with Luke and Ben. And Ben isn't involved with any of this, so we don't know how much of this situation Obi-Wan knows is going on. We get the idea that I think Yoda, you know, has some inkling, and I've said before, I think maybe this is Yoda's last-ditch effort to try and find someone to write the galaxy before needing the services of another Skywalker, because look what happened to the last Skywalker that we trusted. But we'll see what happens, because this is a story that I feel like is building towards a specific end goal, and end in mind. Mm-hmm. And with the way that Disney and Lucasfilm are working together, it will, unless something dramatic happens, actually conclude.
Mm.
Rather, where Clone Wars didn't.
Right.
I feel like Rebels will.
Yeah.
And so I think we're going to get that answer to that question. And it's a legitimate question, you know. You know, is Luke necessary if we have Ezra and Kanan running around this powerful? Yeah. And I think their powers are slightly exaggerated for the TV, for the animated style.
Good point.
But, you know, it's they are acting as Jedi.
And Ahsoka's technically still around, so...
Maybe.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know.
But I'm pretty sure she is.
Yeah. We should probably talk about Thrawn.
Yeah, let's talk about Thrawn. Thrawn, one of the most... I mean, he is literally the original Legends character.
Right. Right?
Timothy Zahn, when he wrote Heir to the Empire, the most original character in that novel was Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's sort of the face of the expanded universe. He and Mara Jade are kind of the faces of the expanded universe.
Yeah. I don't think we'll see Mara Jade.
No. Dave Filoni said no.
Okay. I'm fine with that. I would have been fine not having Thrawn, but how cool that we have him.
Right.
It seems like they've remained faithful to who his character was. He's kind of this military genius. And he just, you know, he studies his enemy by studying their art.
And their history and their philosophy.
Yeah.
And all that.
So it's really, cause obviously there's been some backlash from some Legends fans, you know, right? Like there was, you know, somebody crudely posted something on Timothy Zahn's Facebook wall. It's like an action figure of, Mara Jade with like Heir to the Empire behind her and some other, you know, Thrawn novel. And it's like, WTF Zahn, never thought you'd be a sellout. Or something, right? Like criticizing him for coming back to write a Thrawn book. And it's like, why? Why aren't you happy? Aren't you happy they're bringing Thrawn back? Like they're making him part of canon. Like, what, do you only want Timothy Zahn to write Legends? There's a good chance we'll never get another Legends novel. I don't know that there's not enough. The fans of that, only of that, aren't big enough for Disney to respond, in my opinion. I could be wrong. But I think the Star Wars community at large, it's probably okay with that. And I just think it's so cool and so respectful, actually, that they are looking at a character who was so beloved in Legends. They're like, let's bring him in. And by the way, let's not even change him. He's the same character. Like, yeah, obviously, he's not going to have that backstory, probably, where he's running the Empire and causing havoc for the New Republic. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But I just think it's so cool that they're bringing him in. So.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the fact that they, not only did they bring him in, but they kept his characterization and his character so intact. And they also brought Timothy Zahn in to run the character by him and run the direction the character was going by him, you know, so they want to make sure they get it right and get, you know, the sort of blessing or approval from the author who created the character. So that was cool. And then of course, now Timothy Zahn is getting ready to release a Thrawn novel to sort of go along with all of this. So a canon Thrawn novel, which will probably explain even more about how he got to that place in the Empire.
Yeah, I think the novel is going to explain how he joins the Empire up to his involvement in Rebels. Yeah. So it's a prequel novel to what we'll see in Rebels.
Which is amazing.
Yeah,
so,
and I think it's, you know, it's cool in the trailer they give the setup as to how he's being brought in, right? Like Tarkin is asking this female Imperial officer.
Governor Price.
We've never seen females in the Empire before. I am not opposed. I'm not trying to sound like some sexist here. But to me, the something that made the Empire so tyrannical was the fact that they don't accept outside species beyond human, and they don't accept women. You know, in the story Lost Stars by Claudia Gray, right, we have a character who's in the Empire who's a female. And I'm not opposed to that. I was always shocked by that because I thought that's part of what made the Empire so tyrannical, is that they're so misogynist and, you know, one ethnicity only. But whatever, it is what it is. Yeah, it's cool.
They're sort of broadening the Empire's use of talent, if you will. You know,
yeah,
they're utilizing people who are good at what they do, whether it be a woman like Governor Price or, you know, an alien like Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Right. Well, and I actually remember in the Legends novels, like in the Thrawn trilogy, I mean, I don't remember the specifics. It's been a long time since I've read it, but I do remember something about, you know, even though Thrawn was Chimera or Chimera, however you say that, his species.
That's his ship.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. What is
he? He's a Chiss.
Chiss. That's right. Thank you. But even though he was a Chiss, you know, the Emperor kind of paid attention to him because of his genius. Mm-hmm. And I remember the same was true of, like, Admiral Dalla in the Jedi Academy trilogy. Even though she was a woman, like, the Emperor paid attention to her. So there's always, like, these little, like, okay, well, it's not common that it's a female. It's not common that you have an outside human species, but it happens. But I think it's cool the way they set it up in the trailer that clearly these rebels are becoming more and more of a threat to the Empire. You know, that's why they brought Vader in season two to deal with, you know, this potential Jedi problem. Now they're bringing in Grand Admiral Thrawn because he's obviously a heavy hitter. So they're really going after this rebellion. So it's very clear, you know, that Rebels is showing us how powerful the rebellion is becoming. So by the time we get to episode four, it makes sense that they could actually win this war.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be nuts when they run across Grand Admiral Thrawn. And I just have to say, you know, obviously he studies all sorts of stuff, you know, the history, philosophy, and art. And there's this one shot of him standing in his office off to sort of the left side, and there's all these holograms of different art pieces up. And if you freeze frame on that, it's at 231 in the trailer, if you're curious. But it looks like, you know, there's obviously Ezra's photo from when he infiltrated the academy. There's a picture of Sabine's drawing of the phoenix that they use. And it also looks like there's a family photo of Hera and Cham Syndulla in there. And then there's the Jedi Temple Guard helmet sitting on the desk behind him, you know, that Kanan used when he was blinded at the end of last season. And so not only is he studying the rebels in general, but he's studying our rebels specifically.
Yeah.
And if you look out the window, it looks like that office is on Coruscant, I think.
That'd be cool. I'd love to be on Coruscant.
This is amazing. This is amazing to get one of the biggest heavy hitters of all time from the Legends universe coming over here to face our small band of rebels who are barely able to, you know, keep ahead of Tarkin and Vader. It's going to be really interesting to see how that all pans out and what all happens with that.
Yeah. Something I freeze framed on in the trailer is at 9:01, a ship that looks just like the Outrider. And the shot right before was Ezra flying on this. I don't know if Ezra's flying this or not. I doubt we're getting Dash Rendar, but man, would I love that.
If you watch the panel, they asked that specifically. There was someone who asked that specifically of Dave Filoni. He said, it's the same class of ship, and the lady who designed the ship for the West End Games is on his design staff now. So she came back and designed the ship for canon but Dash Rendar is not going to be in the show.
Blast.
So
that's fine. Coming up, this is the 20th anniversary of Shadows of the Empire, by the way.
Oh,
this December. But anyway, so I thought that was cool that we got that ship in here. Anything else that stands out to you?
Oh yeah, there's a big guy at the end.
Oh, the Bendu.
And he stands out to me more ways than one. One, he looks like a very interesting character, and it looks like Kanan is running across him. This is seems like it's a Kanan mission, Kanan-centric story where he ends up in. And he's interesting because he's another one of these Force-sensitive characters that has something to do with the Force in general. But he talks about You know, the Jedi and the Sith, the light and the dark. I'm the one in the middle. The Bendu is the line that we get, which is very interesting to see what that really all entails. But almost as exciting for me is who's voicing the character. That being the fourth Doctor, Tom Baker, from Doctor Who, the one with the scarf, for those who are Doctor Who illiterate. my favorite Doctor of all time is now in Star Wars as the Bendu. And I'm super excited to see what this all entails. And that voice, you know, Tom Baker's always been known in part for his larger-than-life attitude and his distinctive voice. And so almost as distinctive as Sir Christopher Lee. So I'm super excited to see how he comes into this story.
Bendu is a George Lucas word. They're referred to as the Jedi Bendu, you know, in some of his early story treatments. So it's obviously a Force-sensitive character, creature, whatever it is. I don't know if I don't know if that means it's a role or it's a creature, right? We don't know at this point. But that'll be interesting to see as well. I think Clone Wars, in a way, really kind of got kind of trippy, if you will, with the Mortis trilogy, right? You know, you had, you know, these kind of mythical characters. You know, you had the light, the dark, and then this father who kept things in balance and invites Anakin to stay to keep things in balance. Now you have this thing, the Bendu, who's somewhere between the light and the dark. You know, is this in any way connected to Mortis? You know, it's just interesting that, you know, the ways of the Force seem to transcend just the Sith and the Jedi at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. And you're wondering how that all shakes out within this character in particular and what that means for Kanan and Ezra in general.
Yeah. And again, I guess we'll find out.
And then the last thing he owned, it cannot be unknown. Right. Oh, it's so, so interesting. There's so many questions.
Yeah. And obviously we have Darth Maul again. He shows up.
Yeah.
He's still there. It seems like he's trying to get Ezra. He's trying to get an apprentice. We don't know what his end game is, though. Because it's very unclear at this point.
Right. If you watch the Rebels panel, which is on the Star Wars YouTube channel, they actually show an extended clip of when Kanan and Ezra go and meet Darth Maul, apparently for the first time since last season. I don't know what the circumstances of them meeting him is.
I think he's got the rest of the Ghost crew captive.
Right. And he wants Ezra. He wants Ezra as an apprentice, and the idea in the panel is that Darth Maul is starting to think of legacy and, you know, that sort of impact at this point in his life, and he tries to get rid of Kanan by throwing him out of an airlock. So,
right.
And that's where they cut the clip.
Yeah. So. Yeah, pretty sure Kanan won't die, but you never know.
Right.
I don't think they would give
one
us...
One last thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, one last thing. Speaking of Kanan, is it looks like he may be on some sort of quest or something to try and get his sight back? Because if you're, you know, paying attention, he looks like he's ends up with some sort of Dathomir Force magics at some point. You know, the green, glowy, misty stuff is back, and it's surrounding Kanan. And that final shot of Kanan has him stepping out of the Dathomir Night Sister magic mist, and his eyes are glowing that green glow. Like he doesn't have his mask on in that final shot of him, and it's let's see, what is that? Where is that shot? Sorry, let me find this real quick. It's a really quick shot.
Oh, here it is. It's 316.
316.
Austin, 316.
Yeah, 316. And so, So it's like, well, what is going on? So we're getting all sort of forced nonsense this season, it looks like.
Yeah, it's I think Kanan just found the high C ecto cooler. That's what it looks like to me. So yeah, that's a cool point though. Yeah, maybe he is on some sort of vision quest, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really cool to see where these characters go, and Darth Maul's still there. I still can't like fathom that. What the hell's he doing? it was pretty clear in Clone Wars, what his end game was. He wanted to take control. He wants to overthrow Dooku, quite possibly the Sidious as well. Who knows what his end game is here? Because again, when they first discover him, they know Vader's on the way. Maul admits, I can't take Vader. If he can't take Vader, he certainly isn't going to be taking on the Emperor.
Right.
So what really is his end game? I don't know. Maybe he thinks he and Ezra can overthrow them together. Who knows? We don't know. But I think it's really important that he dies soon, because again, this is a few years before A New Hope. It's just, I don't know. He can't be running around during A New Hope. I'm sorry. I still think it'd be really cool to, my speculation is we could see Ezra fall, Ezra and Maul go off to Tatooine to try to kill Kenobi, and maybe Kanan shows up and sadly has to kill Ezra, which I'm fine with, and Obi-Wan kills Maul for sure by cutting his head off and dicing it up, because apparently he doesn't die, stay dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Gosh, there's so much that looks like it's going to be packed into this season, and I'm sure we haven't even seen half of what's going to be there.
I know it. I know. I think we're going to get a lot to see.
I'm so excited. Do we have time to talk about the Ahsoka panel at all?
We can take a few minutes.
Okay. Because, folks, if you are a fan of the Ahsoka character in any way, shape, or form, you really need to do yourself a favor. Find an hour and just watch that panel, because it's amazing. Not only is it great to have Dave Filoni, Ashley Eckstein, and Pablo Hidalgo talk about the character and some of her stories, but it's full of story content that Dave Filoni tells you about episodes that were going to be in Clone Wars, like three different arcs that were going to be in Clone Wars featuring Ahsoka. And some of that has influenced and directed what they did with Ahsoka in Rebels and what's going to be happening with Ahsoka in the new Ahsoka novel that's going to be coming out later this year. So, oh my gosh, it's amazing.
Yeah, she gets a boyfriend.
Right.
It's really, really cool to get more Ahsoka. I think the story arc that's most exciting though to grab hold of was the one where she and Bo-Katan are leading an assault on Mandalore against Darth Maul during the events of Revenge of the Sith.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. She's not back with the Jedi. She's working with the Jedi because she's been assisting Bo-Katan, and they're the ones that have told the Jedi, hey, Darth Maul's back. He's on Mandalore. We need to stop him now. And so the two of them with Obi-Wan and Anakin are supposed to be going to take care of this. En route, they get the call from Yoda that Obi-Wan and Anakin need to go back to Coruscant because Grievous has attacked planet and the Chancellor has been kidnapped. Anakin gives half of the 501st to Ahsoka to help finish the job, who have painted their helmets orange with the Ahsoka type designs, and Captain Rex goes with her, and then they go take on Darth Maul while Obi-Wan and Anakin head back to Coruscant to begin Revenge of the Sith.
very interesting, because to me, the purpose of that could have been, you know, remember last time we saw Maul in Clone Wars is Sidious doesn't kill him because he says he has plans for him. Well, we don't know what those are, but potentially it's go stir things up on Mandalore again and get Ahsoka away from Anakin and kill Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Clearly he doesn't, but, you know, how interesting. I wonder if that's part of Sidious's plot, you know, because he clearly was going to continue to use Maul as some sort of pawn. You do get that comic series, which, again, it's not canon now, but...
No, it is.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, that's the one thing that really bridged the came over with canon, because it ties directly into the Clone Wars series.
So the Son of Dathomir series is canon?
Yes.
Okay, because he obviously breaks free.
Yeah, his Mandalorian faction break him out of prison. So
Okay, so that's interesting. So maybe the Emperor has nothing to do with that.
Yeah. It doesn't hurt the Emperor's plans.
Sure. Yeah, it certainly doesn't. But it'd be interesting to see what happens there, though, right? What happens when Order 66 comes? Because, Ahsoka's not a Jedi, but she's got, you know, part of the 501st with her. Is Rex going to shoot at her? Probably not.
Yeah, especially since we get the idea that he's taken that chip out of his head at this point, and but the rest of the 501st haven't, so... You know, but yeah. What would have that all entailed? You know, would we have seen Ahsoka and Rex on the run together during Order 66? Or, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Would she even have counted, you know?
Right. Yeah, she's not a Jedi anymore.
Technically, but I don't think Order 66, you know, takes into account technicalities.
Right. Oh, wait. That's right. You're not in the Order anymore. Never mind.
Right.
Hold your fire, man. Hold your fire. There's no life forms. Don't waste the laser blast.
Right. But it also explains, that whole story also explains why Darth Maul and Ahsoka know who each other is, who each other are, when we get to the season finale last year for Rebels. You know, they talk as if they know exactly who each other is. So.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, so I think the novel that they're bringing out has to do with does it have to do with right after she leaves, or
I think the novel is what happens to Ahsoka right after Order 66.
Okay.
I think that's what the novel is, if I remember correctly. So
okay,
but a lot of that the storylines that Dave and Pablo had lined up for the Clone Wars are considered actual history for Ahsoka, because they've heavily influenced where Ahsoka starts off in that novel is something he said during that panel. So,
okay. Now, I was just going to ask a question. What was it? In that finale, did Ahsoka know Vader was Anakin?
The Rebels finale?
Yeah. I mean, she obviously does when, like, she knocks the mask off and he, you know, says Ahsoka.
There was that question posed to Dave.
Oh, that's right. She does sense him in the Force, right? At the beginning.
She senses him in the Force. There's a Force connection between the two of them. After Order 66, she doesn't sense that connection anymore, so she assumes he's dead, which is why when she, you know, senses him in the Force at the beginning of season two of Rebels, why she is so
overwhelmed
and hesitant to even admit who Vader really is, because she can't believe it. One, yeah. She thinks Anakin's dead. Two, she can't believe Anakin would actually become someone as evil as Darth Vader. You know, that sort of thing. And so it takes her the entire season to really find the evidence. And finally, during that confrontation, actually see and for a fact who he really is.
Yeah. Well, because it's interesting, too, because he clearly doesn't expect her. You know, the apprentice lives. You know, I think he's equally surprised.
Yeah, that she's come back.
Yeah, so does he assume that maybe she was killed with Order 66, or that she's just passed off into, you know...
Obscurity?
Obscurity, thank you.
Yeah. I don't know. So interesting.
Yeah.
There's so much good stuff, like, right getting ready to come out now. Yeah. I swear they all the lead up to Force Awakens was great. There was so much good stuff that came out there. And then all of a sudden now it's like after Celebration, they've opened the floodgates. And so, oh, you thought that was a lot of good stuff. Well, here's a bunch more, you know,
yeah.
It's like, yeah. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. It's going to be amazing. I really think this is almost, you know, the most exciting time in Star Wars right now that I've ever experienced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's, and it's a very, everything's very new.
Yeah. But so, Dave Filoni is doing such a good job, I think, with, you know, bridging the old with the new and crafting these stories and that sort of thing. Steve Glosson has said many times that he thinks Dave Filoni should be the Kathleen Kennedy of Lucasfilm and be the one that's in charge of everything.
Interesting, yeah. I could see him doing a very good job with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we've hit the Ahsoka panel as much as we're going to.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anything else that we really need to try and hit on with this? I know we've gone for quite a bit, and there's been a lot that we've said, and we've been kind of all over the place a little bit, but anything else you want to mention?
Not right now. You know, I mean, I think again, these trailers were great because they left us with more questions than answers.
Yeah.
I think that's a success in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, have they announced when season 3 is going to start?
Just fall.
That's what I thought. Okay. When did it start last year? Wasn't it like October?
It was either September or October when it officially started, and I don't recall. I know they did off the top of my head.
They were, you know, they did that opening two part premiere in the summer, and then we had to wait like another month or two till the season actually started.
I don't recall off the top of my head, but it was either late September, early October, I think.
Okay.
So. Oh man. One final thing. We linked to a video of the closing ceremonies reel on our Facebook page and our Twitter account. It's kind of cool to just see everything for the Star Wars Celebration in Europe and all the fans and everything. But you should watch it because towards the end, our buddy Jazz makes an appearance in it. There's a really great picture of him in his Poe cosplay with a Kylo Ren, and they're doing the whole torture scene. And that made it into the, reel, celebration reel. So check that out.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. It's a great video too, because it makes you feel like you were there.
I got so many chills watching it.
Yeah, and it just was like, oh man, I missed something great.
I know.
But I'm excited for Orlando in April. Mm-hmm. It's less than a year away, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Can't come fast enough,
we have a new season of Rebels coming out within probably 2 months. We have a new Star Wars movie coming out in 5 months. You know, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
Episode 8 will be out in a little over a year.
Mm-hmm.
Nuts. Absolutely nuts. Oh, and they obviously introduced the young man who's going to be playing Han Solo.
Yep. Alden Ehrenreich.
Yeah.
Who is the one that all the the trade magazines had been saying was cast, but they officially announced that at Celebration.
Right. Yeah. So good luck, kid, because that's only something Harrison Ford can play, but good luck.
Right. We want you to do well.
Yeah, we want you to do well, but it's not your fault that Disney and Lucasfilm decided to make a Han Solo movie when there were so many other great options. I know I'm poo-pooing on it because I'm a huge Han Solo fan, but I'm a Han Solo fan of Harrison Ford's Han Solo. You know, I don't care what he was doing when he was 15. Don't care at all. So, you know who I'd love to know what was up to? Ben Kenobi on Tatooine, played by Ewan McGregor. Love to know that story.
Well, there's still another standalone movie that hasn't been announced yet.
Yeah, I'd like to know what Admiral Ackbar was up to after the Clone Wars, more than I want to know what 15-year-old Han Solo is up to. So... Heck, how about an Ahsoka movie? Hey, how about a Wedge movie? Hey, how about pretty much anything but Han Solo. Watch, it's going to come out, and it's going to be my favorite Star Wars movie, and I'm going to have to eat my own foot.
Right, right. You know, it's entirely possible that that'll happen. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see, because I don't think they've started principal photography yet, so
right.
There's no actual footage from the movie yet.
Now that we're doing so many different genres in Star Wars films, I want a rom-com. I really want a romantic comedy in Star Wars. With Poe. I'd love it with Poe Dameron. A rom-com with Poe Dameron. Like, the movie title could just be Dating a Pilot. A Star Wars Story.
Poe. A Star Wars Story.
Poe, how come you're never home on time? Sorry, babe. Been flying around.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway.
That's funny. All right. Well, before we wrap up this episode, we have a poll that we want to ask you guys. And this is, you know, based off of what's all come out of Celebration and what we've all been discussing here on the show. Real quick, folks, what are you more excited for right now after Celebration? Rogue One or Rebels Season 3? Because I don't know at this point. I'm excited for both, but I'm curious to see what you guys are more excited for. Rogue One or Rebels Season 3? And Carl, where can they weigh in on that poll or any of our other discussion here?
Yeah, or, you know, if they want to tell me that I was being extremely unfair to Ezra, you can do that too. But you can find us over on Facebook, facebook.com/Wampa's Lair Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/Wampa's Lair, or shoot us an email at wampaslairpodcast@gmail.com.
All right, anything else?
No.
All right, well, thank you everybody so much for listening to this episode of the Wampa's Lair Podcast. This has been episode number 191, Rogues, Rebels, and Celebration. Oh my. For Carl, I'm Jason, and we will see you next time here in the Wampa's Lair.